This is Plans, Hope, and a Future podcast with Jennifer Osborne. This episode of Plans, Hope, and a Future is sponsored by Jenny Becknell. Hello, everyone. Welcome back to Plans, Hope, and a Future. I hope this moment finds you great. We are very excited today to welcome someone I consider a very dear friend, and I love her a lot. Her name is Jen Murphy, and we're going to have a conversation today about her and some of the great things God is doing in her life. And thank you for being on the show today.
Thank you for having me. I love you a lot too.
Yeah,
so,
yeah.
thank you for having me. What a special opportunity.
Yeah, this is great. Yeah, I'm super excited about this because I've been watching as God has led you down a lot of different paths. I know we don't talk very often, but I see a lot of your postings, a lot of your writing, and how God has led you to start your own small business. So you're an entrepreneur, a writer. You are a speaker. I had the joy of hearing you speak last year at a conference that Crossroads Church put on. So God is just really like moving you around, and you're like a diamond with all these different facets.
Oh, thank you.
You're welcome. So let's talk about first, like who you are and your story, how you came to know God and just how you got to this point.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, easy question.
I know. Gosh, where to begin? My story begins with who I am. I was born in Chicago, and I at 3 weeks old was adopted by an amazing family who I'm still very close to this very day. I'm grateful enough to have my parents still with us, my mom couldn't have kids, so she adopted me. She also adopted my brother, and so my whole life I've known I was adopted, and that never really a lot of people ask me about that, and it is really a big piece of my story that I probably don't like sink my teeth into enough, because I really, my family of origin is the family, that raised me and my parents, and they're amazing. And so I've just kind of settled into that in my life. I don't think about it too much unless it comes up somehow, but it is an important part of my story. I'm learning the older I get, the more important it is. I think because with wisdom comes, the realization of just knowing that, God like literally had handpicked a family for me, and it wasn't the family, who gave birth to me. So that's pretty cool to kind of think about that, and, be grateful for that. So that's kind of, my story. I've always known the Lord. But I would say I definitely, my journey of really following the Lord and really having, a regular intimate relationship with him came like in my 20s for sure, after college. I grew up Catholic, and again, yeah, just always knew. I mean, my parents would remind me, the importance of God and who he was and who he was in my life. My grandfather would even remind me, God loves you. My dad every morning, God loves you. And so do I, it's kind of that whole, just reminders, my whole life that, that there is a God and he loves me. So I grew up thankfully knowing that, but I didn't really lean into that until my 20s, and really until I stepped out of a very traditional church environment into what is now, into Crossroads, which, at the time was just a couple hundred people, but then obviously has grown into what it is today. And that was a big part of my journey with God, was just what I experienced through Crossroads, not just the church services and the messages, but then just, the getting involved, the volunteering, and then the relationships that kind of came out of that, and the life that I sort of built that was sort of ended up being centered around, God and what he was doing in our lives. So that really took off probably mid to late 20s. Yeah, and I've been on a journey with him ever since. I mean, to like, I'm not even sure where to begin with, thinking about how he's really steered my life, really post marriage and kids and all that. I mean, we're just really, I mean, we, I was really selfish person in my 20s, and it was all about just fun and being comfortable and doing what I wanted to do. And so, when you have kids, that kind of changes because it's like, okay, now there's someone else I'm responsible for, who's kind of relying on me. And you sort of get out of yourself a little bit. And then, when you add to that, what does it look like to have a life that is centered around, a marriage and a family and a life that's really centered around God and what he wants for us. And so as we've grown, that kind of relationship and that sort of life has sort of grown as well.
Yeah.
And so yeah, I mean, and so now, and it grew so much that, I realized that following God's path for my life was definitely the way to go versus following my own path. And I've just sort of tried to do what he's listened and do what he's, wanted me to do and what he's wanted us to do as a family. And it's been kind of a wild ride, like the things he's asked us to do and or the ways he's steered us. I can't say he's like I heard and asked necessarily, but like the way he's steered our lives has just been kind of wild. But it's
Yeah.
been really fun. And the older I get, I guess the more I try to follow him and do those crazy things that may seem weird to the outside, to the outside world, are just it's actually more fun and freeing.
Yeah.
So yeah, so now I'm just like I almost feel like I'm along for the ride. Okay, God, like wherever you want me. You want me here for if you want me owning a business for a year, that's great. If you want me owning a business for 10 years, that's great too. Just what do you want me to do? So just try to do that with every part of my life as much as I can. Definitely way imperfect in that journey, but I try.
Yeah, it sounds like you've had obedience moments where you've had to say, I'm going to be obedient and I'm going to step into this, and being very like open-handed about your journey as you've went.
Yes,
Instead
definitely.
of like, no, I'm not going to do that, God. I'm sorry. Or whatever. Maybe not even consciously, but I think sometimes we do hold things about our life very close and we don't let God into those spaces. But it sounds like that you've been very open about that. So that's good.
Yeah, definitely. I realize that the more open I am, the easier it gets, which sounds weird because sometimes they're really hard decisions to make.
Yeah.
But when you know you're making a decision and you're following a path that God wants you on, or at least that's your heart, right? Like I think that's where God wants me. It somehow will it works out just
Yeah.
every time. I can't tell you, it's one of those things where unless you're really living it, it's hard to tell someone who's maybe not a Christ follower or not a believer to say, no, I swear, like you follow, like do the things he tells us to do. And it really is freeing, and it gives a level of that obedience really does lead to freedom, like
Yeah.
in the strangest way.
I want to go back to a part of your story that you touched on at the beginning about being an adoptee. From a Christ follower standpoint, that perspective of being a chosen child into a family, did it better help you understand and relate to how God said that we are adopted sons and daughters into relationship with Him? Like, could you really like go, oh yeah, I really get that. Like,
Yes. Yeah. As a matter of fact, the first time I really heard that, I was like, I got it right away. I'm like, of course I get that because
yeah.
that's my story, So and I'm grateful because, not every adoptee's story is like that, right? There's a
Yeah.
lot of abandonment. There's a lot of I mean there's a litany of backgrounds, and I don't even really know what the first three weeks of my life was like, but thankfully it was only 3 weeks, right? So in the first 3 weeks of my life, based on what we know, I was cared for. I was in a foster home that was kind of meeting my basic needs. At least that's what we believe, and that's what, we sort of heard. So in some ways, I mean, that's even a gift because many people, they were abandoned, right? I mean, that's a big part of a lot of people's adoption story is abandonment. And so I believe that part of my story kind of helped me to get it a little bit better because I have always believed, and even more so when I became a parent, when I gave birth to my kids, or even when I was pregnant, I actually thought about it more than I ever had. And I think because that was the way I could relate to a biological mother of like, okay, she had me in like physically in her, and she chose to give me up. And the easier route for a 17-year-old girl back in the early 1970s was to not do that at all. Was I mean, the alternative on the table would have been a whole lot easier for her. And her family, I'm sure, right? So I don't know. Again, I don't know her family. I know it was a closed adoption. I don't know her circumstance. But what I do know is that she and her family, or some form of that, made a choice to say, "We're keeping her, and we are going to let her live and give her life and give her to a family who can care for her." So that in and of itself, when I grew old enough to really realize like what a gift that was, I was like, okay, like that is something. That is a love I can't even actually fathom. I can't fathom giving birth to a child and then giving that child away. Like giving birth to one of my sons and giving him away. Like that's a love that goes beyond you. And so there was just an appreciation and appreciation is not even the right word. There's like a deep gratitude I have to whoever made that choice, whether it was, her family, all of them. There's a deep gratitude I have there. And then, with that gratitude, kind of underlying gratitude as a foundation, it made it really easy for me to hear a message about being adopted sons and daughters. It's just like, yeah, I get that. I get that because I was loved, and I was adopted into a loving family. That's a gift too. That is not always everyone's story either. I don't take that for granted that, I was adopted into a wonderful family, who I've been close with my whole entire life, so that's also a gift. And so it's a concept that's pretty fun for me to grasp and easy for me to grasp.
Oh yeah, that is really awesome. Just kind of a side question with that. Have you ever been curious to find your biological parents, or is that just something you're like, I have peace with that? I'm okay not knowing.
I get that question. That's actually the first question most people ask me when they find out I'm adopted. Because I think there's just a general like curiosity we have, especially in today's social media world. Oh my gosh, it's could she, I've never had a deep desire to find my biological family. Something interesting about my story that I didn't find out till later. And not because my parents were holding the information from me, that I don't think they really realized it was like it's a really important piece of my story. But I just didn't learn it until I was older. Like I said, always knew I was adopted, but was that my biological father doesn't know I exist. So in some way, the biological family was trying to protect me, I would assume, right? Because if he was, if not, he could have taken me and taken care of me. That's the laws. The laws at that time had just changed, where the fathers were given these rights, if I'm not mistaken. So that is just a strange concept for me, that there's like someone out there who doesn't even, I'm biologically his, but he doesn't know I exist, if he's even still alive. But that's a little strange for me sometimes to sort of like sit on, like, wow, that's interesting. But again, I kind of go back to the gratitude piece. I mean, that could have been out of safety. They could have been protecting me in some way, right? And so I just don't know. And that's where trust comes in. I just have to trust that the Lord had a different plan for me. And so I don't, while it was a pause moment in my life of like, oh, that is kind of interesting. Again, just, when you put all your trust in the Lord, I'm just like, yeah, his plan was for me to be, for me to be a part of the Cook family. And that's what his plan was for me. And so I've just always kind of accepted that. And I've never had this
That's
deep
awesome.
desire to find, I think, I used to say, gosh, like I wouldn't want to go and rock my biological mom's world, like perhaps I did hear years ago from a friend who said, there's not a day that goes by that she does not think of you, because she had given a daughter up for adoption. And I was like, that's interesting. And then I was like, well, gosh, if she's got a life now and a family, and I went and knocked on her door, and that was a part of her story that maybe they didn't know, or she didn't want to share. It came with a lot of hurt or whatever. I wouldn't want to do that to her. She literally gave me life. And so I wouldn't want to do that to her either. So there was
Yeah.
almost like, if she wants to find me, that's great.
Yeah.
I sort of for years just had that thought of like, well, I don't, I'm just really grateful.
Yeah.
And I want to mess her life up, because you always hear those weird stories about some, but then, as time went out, my brother found his biological family. And even with that, there came some struggle there. But he's really close to one of his brothers now, and that's awesome. But we both have a different story. I mean, he was adopted at 3 months. I was adopted at 3 weeks, so we even have, our first, his first 3 months of his life were, I can only imagine, like a lot different than what mine were. And so it's, I think some of that even comes into play, right? Just in your ethos and how you are of and what you desire. And so for
Yeah.
me, that desire just has never really been there. Again, if she found me, it'd be delightful. It'd be fine, but I'm not, the only times I really maybe struggle a little bit more with it is when I think about, health things, is there something
Yeah.
I need to, but now there's genetic testing. There's so many opportunities. I could go do a, I've actually, someone had gifted me a 23andMe or whatever it is, I've got it right here,
The ancestry.com kind of stuff.
the kit.
Yeah.
It's like, oh, I could do that, but yeah, I just don't, at least not now, not at this juncture. I'm not feeling
Yeah.
like I have to do that, but
Yeah. Then, I
that's a
mean,
really long-winded answer to your question.
that's okay. You know, what I sensed in your talking was just a lot of love there. Like your decision not to seek her out sounds like it's in a place of love. And you being given up for adoption sounds like a decision of love. So I just hear that both ways. And I just think that I am so grateful to your biological mother doing that, right? I mean, the decision of adoption, it can't be easy. And I can't imagine any mother being in a situation where that feels like the best answer, but it's a loving answer. So yeah, it's I just feel the love and all of that, that what you just said. So let's jump a little bit into your writing. So you've had an opportunity with, I think, two other women to do some writing. I've seen like you guys will do a particular word in a month and you will write on it, and you've had some really great insights. I think project is called the Good Word Project. Is that what I'm
Yes, it
and
is.
are you still doing that, and do you want to share a little bit about it?
Yes, I am. So, actually it's with three other women. So
Three
two,
other women. Okay.
yes. Yeah, so two of us are in Cincinnati and two are in Dallas, and one is from Cincinnati. But she moved to Dallas several years ago. And so we had the kind of the Cincinnati connection, but then she pulled in one of her friends and then two of us up here. The woman that I write with here, she and I wrote a Bible study together, and we had so much fun doing that that we were like, let's, we want to do another writing project. And at the same time, our friend in Dallas had this really cool idea of picking a different word each month and writing about it. So Good Word Project was born. It was, her name's Erin Schreier. It was her concept. And so we just kind of went along for the ride. And it has been, I mean, we've been writing for 8 years and still going really strong. We actually just got together this summer for the first time in a long time, I think, since just before COVID. So it had been over 5 years since we had all been together live. We definitely FaceTime each other and Zoom and all that. But It has been like literally one of life's greatest gifts. It's just been
Yeah.
such a joy to do it. I mean, it's we take a word, so we sort of brainstorm, and by brainstorm I really mean we pray about, and somehow the Lord just leads us to different words each month, and we might work on 5 or 6 words at a time. Probably the most fun time we had with the words was, this is going to sound weird, it was during COVID, which was not fun, but it was like, can you believe we chose these words in January, not knowing, what was going to happen? And so, and but God, like, his hand has just been all over this. And so we each take a week and a month. So, 4 weeks, we each write about that word, and it's always different. We always have a different perspective on, what God's telling us around the word or the concept. And I've always enjoyed writing. And as a matter of fact, I was an English minor in college. Like, I thought I always wanted to do something with writing, but then I just never did, and it takes a lot of time. And I was like, but then when I did the Bible study and then we started Good Word Project, I was like, oh man, this is actually really, really fun. And I would say the most fun part about it is that when we get a word, it sort of sets us on a journey of like praying and almost like, I mean, sometimes I'll even call it like wrestling with God. Like, what do you want me to talk about with this? And you want me to go in that direction? Well, I was going to go in this direction, and now it's going in that direction, and I had a whole plan to write about this, but then all of a sudden, when I was done, I wrote about, something totally different. And just to kind of see how he guides our words on paper, I'll go back and
Yeah.
the things I've written, and sometimes I'm like, oh wow, I could have used a better editor on that. But sometimes, I'll read it and I'll say, was that like, I don't even remember writing it. It's almost like an out-of-body experience. Like, I actually wrote that. So it's really cool to just so I mean, I can just say with all confidence, it has been totally like God leading, sort of the pen to the paper, right? Or the keys on the keyboard. But he has led every bit of that. And has just led me on such a journey of getting to know him better, getting to know myself better, digging into things that are happening in our lives. I mean, I typically we each take sort of a different spin and a voice. And for me, it's a lot easier a lot of times to just write about what we're going through. So, if I have a kid who's struggling, or if I, we've got a family something going on, or whatever, work something, a job change, I'll write about it. And it's just so fun to see where God like takes that. And I've learned so much through writing, through that project. It's none of us want to let it go. I mean, we're already brainstorming words for January, so here we are. You're not. I mean, I have no doubt we'll go to 10 years. It's just an absolute joy and a blast, and it's an honor to write with these women who. The wisdom that they have. I mean, I didn't, I didn't know, one of the women in particular, I just met through the project. She's from Dallas, and she's one of like the most wisest women I know. And it's just so fun to be a part of it. It's like some days I'm like, I can't believe I get to be a part of this. Like, this is super fun. So it's just been an absolute joy, an absolute joy.
And now the words typically get printed online, or the articles get printed online. Have you guys ever considered like combining all of those articles and creating a book?
Yes. We've been talking about that for over 5 years. And we probably talked about it like year three, year four. We're like, we probably should write a book. And when we were all together again, we talked about it again. I feel really like I really want to do it. I think we
Yeah.
just have so much content. If anything, just selfishly to have, even if we just did our own little, whatever, printed it up. But I think there is some really great content there that I think absolutely in a devotion or a book of some sort. Not everything, but certainly some of them, taking kind of the best of, so to speak. But
Yeah.
there's a lot there. I mean, we were doing the math together, and I won't even attempt to do the math in my head right now, but it's a lot. And we typically take a month or two off each year, but so call it 10 words a year times 8 year times four, right? Or I mean, and you find there's a lot. There's hundreds of articles.
Yeah, I think it would be fun to have something like that, just, those your four voices commenting on a particular word and have that in a book, and to be able to go from one to the other and just have it there. I could almost see like a coffee table book with some of it. I mean, it just, I think it could be really great. And the articles are very insightful, and I think it could be just a beautiful book.
Yes. Yeah,
I'm
I do
gonna
too.
be your
We can do it.
I'm gonna be your hype man, I think, for a little while. Like, do you guys do that?
Thank
So you're
you. That's awesome. Yeah. No, I think I hope we do. I'd be surprised if that didn't happen. That's
Maybe it'll be as you get to the end of the 10-year mark, you know,
yes.
like, okay, we've done this for 10 years. We should
Now what?
really put
Yeah.
that out. So
Exactly.
share with the listeners the website where they can read some of that.
Oh yeah, it's really easy. It's goodwordproject.com.
Okay, super easy.
So
You guys
easy.
heard it, so definitely
Yeah.
check it out. And who is the other, or who are the other
Yeah,
writers?
so here in Cincinnati, it's myself and Christy Xing Shang. And then in Dallas, it's Erin Schreier and Julie Hildebrand.
Cool. Very cool.
And they're awesome.
Yeah.
They're all awesome.
I hope folks go out there and discover it for the first time, and see just some of the great insights that you guys have had.
Thank you.
So share a little bit about, you stepped out to where lots of women like really they want to do this step, and you actually did it, where you left a very stable, normal job. Not that being an entrepreneur isn't normal, but you stepped into creating your own business. And that's scary. So share a little bit about that.
Yes. So in the spirit of just kind of going where the Lord leads, that journey started a couple of jobs ago. So I left my corporate job about 12 years ago and ended up working at the Christian school where my kids go as the marketing communications director. And I did that for about 10 years and really I sort of hit a wall a little bit. You know, I was like, okay, I know I need a change. I don't know exactly what I want to do, but what I really want to do first is rest. So I want to I'll take an unpaid sabbatical. I'll at least rest for a little while. But the one thing I know I'm not going to do is I'm not going to start my own thing. And so a lot of people were asking me, oh, you know, are you going to start your own thing? No, I'm not. And so I was pretty adamant that I was not going to start my own thing, but I wasn't sure what I wanted to do, nonprofit, for-profit, you know, I was still kind of waffling and figuring that out, but I knew what I wasn't going to do. And God is so funny. And he really, you know, it's really funny because and you've probably heard this before, but you know, like never say I never because you will. And every I never in my life I have. So I've had a minivan, I sent my kids to private school, we did daycare, we did all the things. I'm like, I'll never do that as a parent, I'll never do this as a whatever. I've done it all. And so I said I would never be an entrepreneur. I would never own my business. I don't feel like I really have an entrepreneurial spirit. And actually, I can say that now, even having my own business, I don't really have an entrepreneurial spirit. I'm not a like, hey, I just want to do my own thing and, you know, stop reporting into the man and, you know, kind of do all the things, right? You
Right.
know, just have my, you know, the world is my oyster kind of thing. And I've just never felt that way. I do like stability. I'm a little bit of a control freak, so I do like control too, but
Don't we
you
all?
know, right? I mean, yes, totally. So I definitely, you know, but it just was never in my heart to do that. And so that is the one thing when people would ask me what I was going to do after I took this little break, I would say that's not what I'm going to do. But while I had not even actually left my job yet, because it took a while to finally leave. When I was getting some project work, people were like, well, now you're a free agent, you know, will you do this for me or will you do that for me? And so I took a couple things on, not really realizing that seeds were being planted to literally like go and do my own thing. But you know, long story short, seeds were being planted for me to go do my own thing. And it became really apparent, really pretty quickly. Like, I would say I left my job. I like resigned in January. I left in April, you know, end of April, early May. And then by, you know, at that time I had some projects. By the I would say by September, October, I knew I was going to be doing my own thing. And so I thought, well, in true form, as I've done every other time, I feel like God's calling me to something that doesn't totally make sense, but I need to do it. My husband and I both, we've kind of taken that posture in our lives now. I was like, okay, I'm gonna create a company name and I'm gonna have my son work on a logo and I'm just gonna start to do the things I think he's calling me to do. And if I'm not supposed to be doing this, he'll put a wall up. I trust he'll put a wall up. And you know, so sure enough, like it just started coming really easy. Like the name was a little hard to come, but then you know, once I got the name, you know, the website copy sort of wrote itself, and I started talking to more and more people about, you know, having client work and things like that. And suddenly, before I know it, I've got, you know, already a couple prospective clients, and I've got a website and a logo, and I guess I'm going to go do this thing. And there were no walls put up, so clearly God's like, go, you must go do this. So I launched in February of last year. And yeah, with not a huge splash, because I think there's a piece of me that feels very reserved about this because it's not what I saw myself doing, you know. So it wasn't like, hey, I'm going in full on and you know, big marketing plan and you know, and that's what I do. So that's what I typically would do, like go out there full force, you know, promote myself. Because I was like, oh, you know, I mean, I think this is where God's calling me, but I'm not totally sure, you know. So I had a lot of hesitation for a while, but then work started coming, and it ended up being a pretty good first year. And now I'm in my second year, and I have some really great clients, doing some really fun project work. So it's definitely, you know, it's one of those things where I'm sort of on the path of, okay, God, like this is where you have me right now. So I'm just gonna be obedient to it. And if you tell me next month I have to stop seed to harvest consulting is my company. If I have to stop seed to harvest and I have to go work somewhere or do something else, I will do it. So I'm very I think over the really the past decade, I've really learned to separate my identity from my vocation and what I'm doing. They're not one and the same. God could call me to something different every year, for all I know. And so if I'm continuing to put my identity in the things he's calling me to, that's going to be a problem. So I will just faithfully try to do the work he's calling me to do, and will, you know, hopefully there'll be fruit from that.
So it sounds like God has really been walking you into like these really cool spots where it has taken just faith and trust and obedience. I mean, even in the stuff that seemingly comes easy, where there's not been a closed door. I mean, honestly, to step out and do your own business, there's a little bit of apprehension in doing that, like setting all that stuff up. You may not have felt that, but like a lot of folks do feel that. So were
Yes.
you there in that at all?
Yeah, I mean, I had apprehension mostly because I didn't really want to do it, which sounds crazy.
It's
But
like,
it's
no,
more
God.
like I like the work, but this whole piece of owning my own business. You know, but I will say, probably one of the biggest supporters I had was my husband. And so Matt was definitely cheering me along and supporting me in that. And so when you know you've got, you know, your kind of your life partner is supporting you in something, you know, it, I mean, that really was kind of a big sort of nudge for me and a big push for me. Like he believed in me and he supported me. And so that was really important as I took that step of faith. So I'm like, okay, I'm trusting God. My husband's right there with me. Like what, okay, so it fails. Okay, and we move on. You know, like at some point, it's just in, and again, as I said, like removing my identity from the thing I'm doing, you know, so it fails, I move on, you know, and I learn. I clearly God's, you know, he teaches us mostly in our failures, right? So if this thing fails or something, you know, if it doesn't, you know, I hope it doesn't, or I hope there's pieces of it, you know, some things. I mean, I've learned along the way. It hasn't all been easy. It's not like every single client's a dream and I've, you know, everything's been like all peachy, but so I'm learning along the way, and so I take it all as learning. Like, I really do believe God has me doing the things I'm doing for a purpose, and I don't know what it is. I don't he like I said, he could have me doing this thing for 10 years, or he could have me literally like closing shop in December because he's got something else. I really don't know, but I want to be obedient to where I think he's calling me, because I do believe like everything we're kind of doing in our life in obedience as we follow him is just another step towards him and what he has for us.
Yeah.
And so why would I not just want to be on that path and just go forward with that? So I'm really hopeful that it's fun to see that revealed sooner than later. You're sort of like, oh, what next? What next? But I do kind of have that anticipation of what next. I get pretty excited. Like, I got pretty excited to start this once I knew, God's making this super clear. And I had a lot of affirmation. A lot of people I spoke with through that whole period of trying to make this decision, everyone would say, "It's going to be amazing, Jen. It's going to be amazing." And those were the words they would use. "It's going to be amazing. It's going to be," and that kind of became a mantra. "It's going to be amazing." I mean, I'm hearing this from so many, and those were the exact words they'd use the word amazing, and those were the words. And so, while it may not be amazing at the moment, or this is kind of hard, I know it's going to be amazing. Like, God, he promises us that for eternity, right? It's going to be amazing. So no matter what,
Yes,
it's going to be amazing, right? We know that.
absolutely.
That's our end places. It's going to be amazing. But in the middle, following him, it's going to be amazing. And I don't know what he has for me tomorrow or a week or a month or a year from now, but I feel like if I continue to just try to be obedient to what he's calling me to do, it will be amazing.
Yeah.
He'll work it out.
Yeah. So what would you say to someone who is, right on the precipice of a big decision, something they're really feeling pulled into doing, whatever that is, whether it's changing a job, whether it is stepping out in faith and starting a ministry or whatever it is, and they're like, I'm not really sure about this whole God thing and does God really have me, whatever. What would you say to someone that is right at that point?
That's a good question. Well, the one thing I will say, because I feel like a lot of people, a lot of believers who are trying to kind of do, follow God's path for them and make their decision and do the next right thing, is always, I don't know if I'm hearing God. Like, if is God, like, am I hearing him right? Should I start this? Should I not? I'm not hearing a clear answer from God. And I think a lot of people want that clear answer from God. And oftentimes people get it. Like, they know, they hear it, they know. But more often than not, we're not getting a clear answer. We might have a little bit of peace about one decision over the other, and you sort of like, okay, that's probably where I should go. But more often than not, none of us are hearing an audible voice, and they're hearing God say, "Jen, you will start your business. Jen, you will, I affirm this and go forward." Like, I didn't hear those words from God. I wish I would have, but I didn't hear those words. But and what I'll say to friends who, I mean, because I've had these conversations before, is God, he actually may not have cared if I started Seed to Harvest or not. He may not care at all, really. Not that he doesn't care, because he cares. He cares what we're doing. But
Right.
like in terms of the decision, he's not caring so much about which decision I'm going to make, X or Y. What he's caring about is my heart in that decision. And what he's caring about is the fact that I'm following him in my decision.
Yes.
And I believe if we are following him in our decision, we will have clarity. And if for some reason we take the path that perhaps he did not want us to take, he works all things for his good. So I just always go back to
Amen.
scripture. So go back to scripture then. Like, if you're not sure, but I also believe that if there's something on your heart and God's put something on your heart, chances are it's there for a reason, and go for it. He will work it out for good. And I mean, there are decisions I've made in my life that I do. There are a couple of very specific decisions I've made in my life where I feel like, you know what? Looking back now, I know God wanted me to do this instead of what I did. And but he worked it all out for his good. He got me where he needed me to be eventually, right? You start to listen long enough, you start to, kind of have a posture of obedience long enough, you start to realize like, okay, that's probably where I should have gone. I went here instead now, but now I'm here. And so that's what's important. But it's the decision. I think a lot of people get paralyzed. I just don't know what I should do. And I would just encourage that person, you know what? God cares about your heart more than anything. So get your heart right with God. Get your heart right with God. And then the decision may or may not be, he'll love you no matter what you do. He'll be with you no matter what you do. You'll be successful no matter what you do. It's your heart. It's your heart. So focus on your heart first. Make sure your heart's right with God, and then go do the thing. And do it with prayer, and do it with integrity, and do it with all the things, you're chasing after God as you're doing it. And I believe wholeheartedly that, again, even if it doesn't work out, perhaps God needed you to go there because you need to learn something for, something else down your path. So he uses all things. He wants our hearts. He's going to use all things, and he will make our path straight. He promises that. So it's always the scripture I just go back to, and his promises, and the and in his character, his character and what he wants for us. And that is he wants our hearts.
He's a good father. He's not going to steer us wrong. Yeah, I had to make you made me think of this. I had to make a decision about how to proceed, and I felt like God was very clear in how he wanted me to proceed, but then there were these things that happened that seemingly would have taken me off that course. And as I was sharing with some folks, like, no, God really spoke to me that I should go this way, even though it looks like all the road is not leading that way. And they said, "Are you sure you heard God?" And I said, "Well, we can never be, I think, like absolutely it was the Lord, although I feel that way. But there are moments where it's like maybe it wasn't the Lord, maybe I did hear him wrong. But what I said was, it doesn't negate Romans 8:28, it does not negate God's goodwill for me. And if I step into something being obedient that I feel like God has called me into, and maybe he hadn't, God is such a good God. He knows how to steer us back to his will and his path." And they were like, "Oh, okay." So it's like, yeah, so maybe if I did hear him wrong, which I'm don't think that I did, but I've gotten that question twice. I just said, I trust God enough to know his character and who he is, and that scripture says he works all things for good, and he sees my willingness to want to be obedient. Like you were saying, get your heart right before God. I want to be obedient to the things that he wants. So that's my answer to someone who's like,
That's a good one.
I don't know. What if I step out of place? And it's like, if you're following God, your heart is right. He knows how to get you to the place you need to be.
Absolutely. Absolutely. I love that answer. I think that's good because I think sometimes, I mean, God is, if he calls us on a path and it's not easy, it doesn't mean it's not the path he's called us on. I mean, and that is very aligned with his character as well, and aligned with scripture. I mean, he's not going to call us always to the easy thing. And the enemy will try to thwart us, and the enemy will, so sometimes if a path, we're heading down is a harder one, it doesn't mean it's not the right one. And so it
I'm
is,
glad
but
you
I do
said that.
think, I think that people really do get paralyzed when they can't feel like they hear a really clear answer from God.
They're like,
And
I don't want to step out and try anything, but they should. They should
right.
walk. Like, just start walking towards that thing. Even if you're not sure, God is not going to steer you wrong. He's just not. He is a good father.
And that's exactly what I did with this business. I was like, okay, I'm down this path, and I don't know if this is, exactly where you want me, but I'm assuming it is, and I'm going to go down the path. And he's not going to, he's he, he knew I was chasing after him as I was going down the path. And so I do believe he'll bless that in whatever,
Yes,
you know, whatever
yes,
way, shape, or form.
yes.
But yeah, it's a journey.
It's
It's
a
a journey.
journey.
I hope
I
it's
love.
easy. Making it sound really easy, like, oh, it's so easy. I just went down the path and it's great. And my business is super successful now and it's all wonderful. No, it's definitely, it's a journey. You know, and every, you know, there are a lot of days, I mean, not every day, but I'll be like, am I really, is this what I do? You know, I think, but I think anytime I sort of doubt, I have to really kind of steer my eyes back to like
Yeah.
what am I really doing? Like, I'm
Yes.
not working for men, I'm working for the Lord. So
Yes.
just help me keep my eyes fixed on you. And if my eyes are fixed on you as I'm working for seed to harvest, great. If my eyes are fixed on you doing something else, that's fine too.
Yes.
And just being okay with wherever he leads. I say me, but us as a family, because these decisions aren't just like me deciding what I want to do with my life. I mean, it really is a family. There's family impact. There's family, you know, family's affected by all this as well. And so it's really important that everyone kind of be on the journey and be a part of it. So.
Yes. Yeah. Well, that's awesome. That's really, really awesome. And a great perspective. Like just keeping your heart before God, right? Just keeping your eyes on Him. So I love that so much.
Took a couple decades to get there, a few decades, a couple few, but you know, I
My
get there.
gosh. Yeah, you get wiser as you get older. And when you're younger, you just don't have all that life experience and relational currency. And as far as like, you with God, not God with you, because
Yes.
he definitely has us, but us trying to like figure out how we relate to God and learn Him and all of that stuff. That's what I mean by currency. But yeah, it's
Absolutely. Absolutely.
I totally get that phrase of I wish I would have known then what I know now. Like you get that wisdom, you get that journey. But one of the beautiful things about having that wisdom is being able to share it with others and help mentor them into the right steps. So I kind of feel like what you're sharing today is a matter of mentorship, encouraging someone else out there who needs to hear that. So I thank you for that.
Great. Oh, thank you.
You're welcome. Well, we're gonna wrap it up there. We've been going for a little while, and I will put your website information in the description. So folks out there, if you want to find Jen, I'll put her links in the notes so you'll have them to be able to visit her website. If you have a need for her small business, or if you just want to read some of her really great writing, you can go out there and check it out. So it's really cool.
Thank you.
But thank you for being on the show. I've appreciated it.
Thank you. This means a lot to me. I mean, this is a really fun opportunity, and to hear you say anything about my writing, I mean, you're like, that's what a huge compliment coming from you. So
Ah, thank you.
I just so appreciate the writing, the speaking, all of that. Huge compliments coming from you.
Oh, thank you.
Because it's just a joy to see and watch your work too. So
Oh,
this has been
thanks.
really a joy. Thank you.
It's a mutual admiration society right here then.
I love it. I love it. That's great.
All right. Well, we're gonna wrap it up there, folks, and until next time.
You've been listening to the Plans, Hope, and a Future podcast with Jennifer Osborne. Podcast copyright 2025 by Parable Road, LLC.